KBBI's Evening News is supported by Homer Real Estate, bringing buyers and sellers together for over 40 years from Nanilchik, Happy Valley, Anchor Point, Homer, and across Catchback Bay. All current area listings are online at homerrealestate.com or by calling 907-235-5294.
Today is Friday, February 6th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Evening News. Volunteers with a new local search and rescue team completed a 3.5-day training course earlier this month. Members of the K-Bay Search and Rescue team trained at the Catchmac Emergency Services Station during the course. 18 participants from Homer, Anchor Point, and surrounding areas completed the course. Instructors from Matsu Search and Rescue led practical scenarios with certified search dogs, while Alaska State Troopers Lieutenant Benjamin Andres briefed the group on aircraft safety and the statewide search and rescue system. Casey Adderhold is on the KBSAR leadership team. She says the training covered both medical and operational skills like shelter and fire building, along with rescue techniques.
Lost person behavior, how to organize teams for a search, communication techniques, all of the equipment that is used in search and rescue, from evacuating people and transporting people, and then also using like drones for searching.
Allison O'Hara started the team last year following a search for a missing hiker in Catchmac Bay State Park that lasted 3 days. The hiker later made it out of the park on her own. The Catchmac Bay Search and Rescue is now a member of the Alaska Search and Rescue Association, which coordinates training and equipment and support for volunteer teams statewide. More than 70 people have signed up to volunteer with KBSAR. Adderhold says some members serve in support roles that do not involve field searches.
It's not just about the boots on the ground. It's the people back at base communicating, planning, doing logistics, transportation.
The training marks the first formal certification for the new team as it prepares to respond to future search and rescue callouts in the Catchmac Bay area. And at the end of January, scientists with the Alaska Veterinary Pathology Services were dropped at McDonald's Spit near Seldovia in Catchmac Bay to necropsy a deceased baby beluga whale. AVPS partners with NOAA as a stranding network partner when the federal agency receives a stranding report. KBBI's Emily Springer reports.
Natalie Rouse is a necropsy biologist, research assistant, lab coordinator, and training coordinator with the Alaska Veterinary Pathology Services, AVPS. In many cases, she works on-site, but for this project, she conducted logistics by distance, and the on-site coordinators were Dr. Melanie Iverson and Paul Seiko with the Ksetsna Bay Lab. Rouse provided these details with the findings from this particular animal.
This is a dead-stranded beluga whale by its length. That we know that it's considered a juvenile subadult, so it can be anywhere from 3 to 9 years old based on its length. It was a female. It was pretty heavily scavenged, but rather fresh when it was found.
The animal came to the research team's attention through observations on the Seldovia Chatter Facebook page, and a response was organized by the National Marine Fisheries Service and AVPS to collect samples. Samples are immediately headed for disease diagnostics and may go to many different places.
So a lot of things will go to the University of Alaska Museum of the North. They'll archive that for any future research for anybody. It's a semi-public archive that can be checked out by any researcher. And then we keep some of the samples in our freezer. We send some to Northwest Fisheries Science Center for toxicology research. We have a researcher in Texas that does reproductive research. We have a researcher at Tufts University that's looking at avian influenza surveillance. So there's probably about 15 different labs that all the parts and pieces will end up going to just initially, and then potentially more depending on what we find with the diagnostics.
Belugas in Cook Inlet are a critically endangered subpopulation of animals. In the last few population surveys, their population has been stable, hovering around 300, and that's still a fairly low number, Rouse said.
Any time a beluga strands dead, especially, a younger one that is sort of before its time, that's of concern to us, and we want to find out, you know, what's causing that and why they're dying a little before their time.
Roust referred to several problems noted recently, various bacteria pathogens, but several other stressors as well.
It's generally thought that they kind of have stressors coming from a lot of different angles. So, you know, noise pollution is certainly something that affects them because they need to echolocate. You know, fish runs need to be strong and healthy for belugas to be able to build up their fat in the summertime. So that's definitely something that we look at when we're considering beluga health. So there's a lot of reasons why they're not doing well in this area, but there's not really one thing that we have pinpointed.
For more information on the bacteria pathogens, Roust referred to two recent publications. Emerging Infectious Diseases is published by the Center for Disease Control, and the June 2025 publication is available for public review. Diseases of Aquatic Organisms is an academic science journal, and an article on Cook Inlet belugas was published there in July 2025. Roust noted that this is the second dead-stranded Cook Inlet beluga whale in the Homer area this year. The first one stranded in Anchor Point on January 18th and was necropsied by Roust in the Kachemak Bay campus semester by the Bay students on January 19th. The NOAA office in Juneau requests that if you see stranded, injured, entangled, or dead marine mammals, call the NOAA Fisheries Alaska Statewide 24-Hour Stranding Hotline 1-877-925-7773. Reporting from Homer, this is Emily Springer.
And that's it for tonight's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 and Homer 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201AO and online kbbi.org. News tips and story ideas can be emailed to news@kbbi.org. Tonight on KBBI at 7 p.m. is Faking Friday with David Snyder. At 9 p.m. is Blues Etc., hosted by J.O. Applications for vendors, sponsors, and musicians for this year's Concert on the Lawn are available on our website, kbbi.org. Also, KBBI is now accepting submissions for art for this year's membership mug. You can find the rules and a template on our website. Tonight in Homer, partly cloudy skies and a low around 28 degrees with northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for tomorrow, Saturday, mostly cloudy skies and a high near 36 degrees with northeast wind to around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm in the morning. For Seward tonight, a chance of snow after 3 a.m. with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 30, north wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow's a slight chance of snow before 9 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow, cloudy skies and a high near 37 degrees, north wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming light and variable in the morning. Sunrise this morning in Homer was at 9.05 a.m., sunset tonight will be at 5.36 p.m. for a total of 8 hours 31 minutes of daylight, a gain of 5 minutes 3 seconds from yesterday. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 9.02 a.m. Seward sunrise was at 8.58 a.m. Sunset will be at 5.25 p.m. for 8 hours, 27 minutes of daylight, a gain of 5 minutes, 10 seconds from yesterday. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 8.56 a.m. Thanks for listening, and good evening.